January 5, 2024, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Pedro Show, happy Friday. Start off with John Coltrane, live excerpt from Birdland, March 2, 1963. My favorite things, his interpretation of that Sound of Music waltz. Then we had You Were Gonna Be Here and Prepared from the Byrne Babies. Actually, a demo from the Byrne Babies. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me John Twan Joe. Chasumi Montreal, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Let me explain first how I know you guys. We shared the stage a couple months ago in your town. Joe, well, guitar man Joe, I want to start with you. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Okay, I guess it's with my parents. They had the Beatles records on vinyl and just really dug the like the early stuff. They had like all the rock and roll music, like Cheap Trick also. So I just dug through their record collection, and because that's before I could buy my own music, so that's pretty
much your first memory about music is going through their records. Speaking of fucking records, what was the first one you bought with your own money?
It was the All-American Rejects, Move Along. It's a shitty 2000s pop-punk record, but it was my favorite at the time, so I guess it's valid.
Now remember, it's a Watch for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. What was the first gig you saw, Joe?
It was actually a Beatles cover band at the Corona Theater in Montreal.
Okay, nothing like a cover band. I think these days they say tribute.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Right, because like, it's more than a cover, because sometimes a cover could be an interpretation.
True, yeah.
I'm thinking of the Animals doing Lead Belly's House of the Rising Sun. Now, when Frigid Pink did the Animals version, that was, yeah, kind of karaoke land, but tribute, right? You dress up like the motherfuckers, the whole thing, yeah, right. Where a cover is like, you take it, it's like somebody gave you a bunch of clay, and then you used it to form your own little coffee mug or something.
Yeah.
Okay. At the pad you grew up, was there music instruments?
Not really. Well, there was a piano at my grandparents' house, but
Talking about where you grew up.
No.
Okay, what about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the, we call it harmony here. It's a kind of strange word in French.
It's harmony. Like singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some people don't sing in harmony, of course, but they try.
But, yeah, so...
And if you ask me, I think the human voice is probably one of the first instruments. Probably the feet were second with dancing and drums and beating on your chest and shit. Okay, how'd you end up on the fucking guitar if you were singing?
Yeah, well, I played piano also when I was a kid, and I started doing
YouTube. Did you go through the thing of the piano lessons? Is that what happened to your grandma's path? Now, was it a positive experience or negative?
It was both, honestly. It was a positive experience.
Like most fucking things human, a little of both, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it was fun. It's like I really loved music from like such an early age, but also there was like a whole performance thing with the piano lessons and shit.
I should practice.
Yeah, and yeah, it kind of became painful at some point. So honestly, that's also kind of why I wanted to start guitar, because I didn't want to take classes or anything, and it seemed hard at first. But honestly, I always thought, like guitar is a democratic instrument.
How did you get it? Well, it's easier to move around, that's for sure. But you know, the reality is, rock and roll is piano music. It's guitar is way later.
Yeah, true.
I mean, if you get into the musicology of it, shit. So how'd you get that fucking guitar, the first guitar?
My dad bought it for me. So he gave me it as a present after finishing elementary school. So it was an acoustic guitar at first. But then, of course, I wanted an electric guitar, so I got an Epiphone SG with
Let me understand this. You said... You did a guitar because you didn't have to take lessons. So you were self-taught? Would you listen to records?
On guitar, yeah. I was, I took like two classes, I think, in a summer camp. I learned... A little bit of lessons, yeah. But nothing to make me
understand. Nothing like the piano shit, that experience.
No.
Now, what about in the afternoon? Not before you graduate, you still go to school, but in the afternoon when school's out, do you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing with your buddies?
No music with people for me. I didn't, there was a small music scene at my school, but it was like back in the 2010s, and it was mostly like the indie, singer-songwriter revival kind of thing with, Bon Iver and shit.
Yeah, but with kids, they pay attention to that shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought kids, they're into their own world and shit, and we're not so much influenced by it. That's it. Well, what a nightmare. Look, you gave me this song, Equals McDonald's. Mr. Einstein, right? Let's listen.
Yeah.
Thank you. sleeping, repeating, it's the way forward, it's the way forward. Suffering, learning, healing, turning, it's the way forward, it's the way forward.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show that chunk of music. Start off with Chop Suey doing Equals McDonald's.
Q in San Francisco, Eugene Chadbourne.
Sunken Lanes with Thalweg. Brand new. Brand new punch from Graham, too. Brand new from Nikki is For Freedom. Noisuka, brand new. Victor Hugo's Big Fat Face. Otherworlders, this is a new project. Danny Huffin. He's got a new Fumes, new. I play on like 3/4 of that. Just came out. But this is his other project. And this is the Tachyons. Trippy. Love it. Nasubi, which is live at the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble New Music Fest 2023. Last fall, this was day 3. Composed by Robin Hay. Performed by the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble. Wirelines with Collection. Vacant Possessions Fence Post with Tripophobia. Sorry about that. Fucking idiot. Get together, what? Vacant Possessions and Fence Post. Fence Post is also Graham. This is a collab he's got. Super Nice Guys. This is Masa, great bass man. Doing Bob Barker. I think we just lost him, right? One of them game show guys. Ben Salter. But I think he helped Pets, too. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Tracksuit, Not Soup. This came out last fall. I didn't know. Got to start playing it. Barry Stock for 15 years, and finally, Chop Suey with Bodies, but not the Sex Pistol one. Your turn, Antoine. Earliest musical memory, please bring. Jamie Suzuki.
So, I'll say my first memory of music is really when I was going skiing with my family, and they were playing Genesis in the car, like lots of Peter Gabriel, Genesis, and Phil Collins. And I was like, damn, this is good. And I was like 7 years old when I realized that.
Yeah. And, or you decided that. Other people might not realize that.
Yeah.
Other people might have thought. You know, J. Paul Sartre, you know what he said, right? Hell is other people. Well, yeah. A little corollary to that might be hell is other people's favorite music. You know, that's one good thing about the arts. We can get all subjective on the shit.
Exactly.
What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, so I started in the harmony, same as Jonathan. Not in the same school. But
your voice.
Yeah, I was playing trombone.
Oh, on the bone. That's basically.
Yeah, on the bone. On the bone. And I did that after for like 12 years. So
not harmony. They call playing a bone. That's part of harmony, huh? Well, I guess you can use harmony. Yeah, yeah.
I think what we
maybe it's a general word for just music.
It's orchestra.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. How different instruments work together, and it could be a voice, it could be like horns, or it could be even the bass guitar.
Exactly.
So, the bone. They're big over here with the marching bands. Because of brass, you know, the John Philip Sousa kind of marches, that kind of shit. What was the first record you bought, Antoine, with your own money?
So I'd say the first record I actually bought with my own money is a Muse album.
Muse from England?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from England. It's a band I don't...
Because Muse is also an old Greek word for, people that inspire you. What was the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw, I just remembered that like last week, and it was actually it was the same month. It was in 2012, in November, and I actually saw the Musical Box, and a week later.
Musical Box. You're talking about the Genesis.
Yeah, it was a Musical Box. It's a cover band of Genesis.
I remember they had a song called that, so there's a tribute band. Named after one of their songs, okay.
Exactly. I think it's an album, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. And the week after that, I saw King Crimson in Montreal, and I was like 12 years old. It was crazy.
How can you have two first gigs?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well, I just
Yeah, you're volunteering more information than I'm asking for. For one thing, I asked you what, not when. And then we only need one. Because you can only have your first trip once. That's why I asked that thing.
Yeah, true.
Now, how did you get on? How did you end up on the fucking drums?
I'm on the bass.
Oh, you're the bass man. Okay, fuck that up. Okay. Let's get to that then. Now, that makes more sense to well, music is music, but the bone being fucking bass clef, not far stretch for the... It's almost like a fretless bass, huh?
Honestly, it's the same as a fretless. It's literally the same. The move I did from switching from trombone to bass was just because I was getting bored on the trombone. I was having fun, but I was like, I can have more potential on the bass, and like, I think I just prefer the like bass sound and lower register.
Can I ask you about a couple of bone players?
J.J.
Johnson. J.J. Johnson.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, John Coltrane made. He's been Miles Davis, and he played with a lot of people. What about Fred Wesley?
Fred Wesley, I heard it.
Horny Horns, right? P-Funk.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know, but a lot of fucking Funkadelic was recorded in Canada.
Yeah,
because of Detroit-Windsor situation, right? So, you know, Motown and George Clinton would go across, and I think Louisiana Hot Mama's got a Canadian guy playing one of the lead guitars. And I think it's where Canada's actually, even though they're both New Jersey, him and Gary Scheider, I think they met actually in Canada and then came together. He's the one of the main singers, like Mothership Connection, wearing the diaper and that shit. Incredible musicians. Anyway, people got to know that there's a lot of music connect. You know, the Stooges guys told me that they used to see a lot of the England bands in the 60s when they toured. They'd come through Windsor to play U.S. So there in Detroit, Ann Arbor area, they got to see. Like Ronnie told me he saw Jimmy, 100 people at this club called the Fifth Dimension.
When
he first came over. Windsor. Yeah. So there's connects there. So you get it. What was your first bass, Antoine?
So my dad bought me a 5-string bass.
Whoa.
I started on the 5-string. That's wild. But pretty much it was a Epiphone Tobias 5-string. It was an active...
Tobias is a company that Gibson acquired.
Yeah, exactly. They don't sound great at all. I sold it and...
But a poor carpenter blames his tools, especially when you're starting out. You just fucking go for it. And shit, like, what was your first amp?
My first amp, it was a Trainer.
Trainer, yeah, Canadian amps. Yeah. They're great, right? Ron Ashton loved Trainers.
And they're really cheap, honestly. Like, it's a bang for the bucks. It was a 115 cab with a 200-watt head. It was really great.
Okay. And did you do that shit, unlike Joe, who never played with anybody after school, did you do that?
So for me, I did go to music school after that. So
No, I'm talking about while you're still at school, like the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. This is in the afternoon when you get out of school.
No, Chops to Me is actually my first real band.
Okay.
I had some fun with
friends. Let me back up, because when I get the mind reading thing done, I won't have to bother you with these stupid questions. But I'm gonna have to use words right now. So, okay, you finish high school and stuff, and then you go on to music school. What to learn more on the bass or more bone?
It was on the bone actually.
Okay.
So I did graduate on the trombone.
That's all right. Beautiful instrument.
But when I entered the school, music school with the trombone, I was like, damn, I should have chose the bass. It was just like I had more fun on the bass. So slowly I learned by myself bass at home while practicing for trombone also.
Yeah, and probably had some of that knowledge carried over, right?
Oh, yeah, it's really easy to do the switch. Yeah. Honestly, it's like the easiest instrument to switch.
Okay.
From trombone to bass.
And also big mouthpiece, easy to march with. That's what the dudes used to call me. French horns and shit, oh my God. Look, we got to get on to the other Joes, because I'm going to learn his story. Joe, drummer man. I got to have that right?
Yeah,
process elimination.
Right.
What's your earliest musical recollection?
Okay, so when I was 4 or 5 years old, my parents discovered faith and started going to an evangelical church.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of music was really important there. And from the first day I went there with them, I was only looking at the drummer and really obsessed with it.
Oh, they had a band there. Drums. Okay.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, a lot of first rock and rollers learned how to sing in church. Little Richard, Elvis Presley, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a band here too. I know nowadays a lot of churches use bands. It's not just an organ player and singing. There's all kinds of stuff. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
That was a bit later. It was an album from a band called On the Road. They're Only Chasing Safety album.
And so what about the first gig you saw? It was probably that church band, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you were watching the drummer, you said.
Yeah.
So you think you got a hankering for drums that early on?
Yes, but it took a while before.
That's all right. You know what? Orson Welles learned this with them fucking two-buck Chuck commercials, right? No wine. We'll sell no wine before it's time, right?
Yeah.
So how did it develop? Well, let me ask you this. In school, were you in the fucking marching band or the choir? Did you? Because some, you know, marching bands require. In fact, that, you know, before, you know why they're called trap sets, right?
No.
It's short for contraption. it was invented in New Orleans because the first drums were actually field drums, right? They used them in military shit to march with,
Yeah.
That's why that traditional grip is strippy like that, because it was hanging on your side.
Yeah.
So did you do that in school?
I started playing drums, I think, at 13 years old, so I was in high school. And then I did a bit of the orchestra, playing trumpet for about half a year.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and
I sincerely believe that you can play drums, you can play any other instrument because of the rhythm. No, because of the rhythm component.
Yeah, but I didn't play much music in school. I played a lot in church, though.
Were you in the church band? Did you end up replacing that drummer, man?
Yeah, not that one, but I played a lot in church.
Conceptually, let's say that. Yeah. And that means every Sunday, at least you got one gig a week.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's great. Because as anybody who does music will tell you, man, either use it or lose it, right? You got to prac. You know about John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, right? 10-hour pracs with a jar of honey. Yeah, whoa.
A jar of honey.
Yeah, and which was terrible because Eric Dolphy didn't know he had diabetes, right?
Oh, shit.
Whoops. Yeah, that happened. In fact, get this. You know, he grew up in Watts here, SoCal, and his father built him a prac pad in the backyard. They're into it, man. You know, some parents are very supportive, like Antoine getting that, and Joe, too, getting his guitar and the bass, and you guys, as parents, being supportive like that. Because, you know, I've had people on the show where parents were not into it. You ain't going to be playing. And they had to kind of sneak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. Come on. We got to express ourselves, right? And so, look, when I come back, because we're almost at the end of the first hour, when we come back, we're going to learn about how you three came together and start playing with each other, all right?
All right.
So, people, it's the first hour of the January 5, 2023 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show with special guests Joe and Antoine. Joe from Chop Sumi out of Montreal. Hang tough for hour two. January 5, 2024. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Count of three. So that you'll be sure. Thank you. dýchání se samo prohlubuje. Je pravidelné a rytmické. Dýchání se samo prohlubuje. Je pravidelné a rytmické. Právě v tomto soustředění mohu najít řešení dříve nepochopených otázek. Nové paprsky energie prozáří náhle mé vědomí a bytí. Míra soustředění se stupňuje a vše, co existuje, je přátelské a uspokojivé. Míra soustředění se stupňuje a vše, co existuje, je přátelské a uspokojivé. Mohu se soustředit. Koncentrace mě vede k pevnému uchopení života. Chápu, že soustředění je základem každého poznání. Každý nápad je jako rostlina, která koncentrací vzklíčí, vyroste, rozkvete a přinese plody. Každý úspěch posiluje v mém podvědomí víru v budoucnost a dodává mi energii. Mohu soustředěně pracovat a zůstat uvolněná. Budu soustředěně pracovat a zůstanu uvolněná. Každý úkol zvládnu klidně, bez starostí a strachu z toho, co se stane. Věřím, že výsledek bude dobrý a že ani v budoucnu se nemám čeho obávat.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour. Chop Sumi. Follow Me Into the Sun. And from Bono, Berrettini, Trick or Chess. Trick or Treat. No, Trick or Chess. Adam Body Donoval with Grandma's Tape. This is Dead Maple. A guy who's half Canadian moved to Bologna, Italy, and he started a label out there, Jonathan Clancy. It's called Improved Sequence. And we're putting out the new El Sueño de Mañana album later this spring. And these are a couple releases there. Bob Lord, Hypersonic Velocities, Scrapers, Papers, Requiem Canis, Arcani. Yeah. Maybe some dogs, huh? Los Kempfanger out of Holland with Attack Sound. And finally, Chop Sumi with Psychosa, maybe. A little Greek, French. Yeah. Now, how does Chop Sumi, how do you three guys, well, is there actually, is Burn Babies before Chop Sumi?
No, it's an ongoing
side project. Later, let's talk about that when I play the other two. Because I had no idea, you know. But how do you three meet?
All right, so it's me, Joe, guitar man, that I was, like I was telling you, I didn't have any friends playing music or anything around me. So I was at a guitar store at some point, and I was buying a... I don't remember what, a 12-string acoustic guitar for some reason. And I just started talking to the guy over there, and I was like, yeah, I have some songs. I don't have any bandmates. I don't know anyone who makes music. So he was like, oh, I know a couple of people. I'll set you up. So he set me up with Antoine. And
this is a guy working at the store, or just another guy shopping?
The guy working at the store, yeah. Okay. I forgot to mention, yeah.
I got to say, in a way, this reminds me of, like, record stores. How many bands started, or small clubs, right? Yeah. And then when we lose those kind of places meeting each other, it's even lonelier, right? So I know there's some convenience about online, but there's something about meeting people, too. So he sets you up. So this guy knows you, and he knows who? Antoine?
Yeah. Yeah, they went to the same school together, the music school he was talking about earlier.
Okay. And Antoine's never been in a band yet. So you got no friends. He's never been in a band. Okay, that sounds like a good recipe.
Absolutely.
So what happened?
So then Antoine knows, he called out. I mean, you go ahead.
So basically, Joe was telling me that he had a show booked already.
Whoa.
On the 23rd December?
December 23rd,
2018. Yeah, 2018. We were jamming for the first time on the 1st September, December. But it was really
terrible. So 3 weeks,
honestly.
He's got a gig, even though he had no fucking band.
Yeah, 3 weeks, we got a gig, and we don't have a drummer. Like, it was an acoustic setup.
Yeah.
Joe was playing the guitar.
Yeah. Maybe
guitar,
the 12-string you just bought.
Yeah.
And I was playing the keys.
Keyboard. Like, okay. So you didn't tell me you learned that,
bass.
Too. Okay, great.
And I just said to Jonathan, like, yeah, this isn't gonna work. We gotta get a drummer. So we did get a drummer like a week after, and we with my connection at the music school.
Okay.
You see,
I was thinking maybe that fucking dude at the fucking music store.
Oh no.
He sounds like the little matchmaker cat. Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Anyway, you got a cap from school. Is this Joe, this other Joe, drummer man Joe?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, I go with them just last year.
Okay. So the first incarnation of... Is the band called Chop Sumi?
Yeah, it is actually.
I had the whole thing ready. I had like the name. I had like songs and shit. I didn't have bandmates, you know.
Okay, that happens.
Yeah.
So you get this guy on drums. You got a power trio now. You got to teach him the songs. You know him, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had like basic versions of the songs. So we played the show at a.
How was that first gig?
How was it?
Yeah.
It was cool, honestly. It was a Green Day cover band, which was That
you were sharing the stage with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then was the guy from the Music Stores band, which was also terrible, but I mean, it's fine.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Because you gotta you know, acknowledge the connect with Antoine. That's,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah. And we're grateful for those guys because, like, even though I personally hate their music, I love the human side to what, like,
yeah, and that's going to happen, right? Because you got ethics and you got aesthetics. I wish people understood there's a difference. One is just about, you know, hey, I like the way this tastes or something. The other thing is, like, you know, you're a fellow human. Why don't we treat each other decent?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Look, I want to play Header.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Chop Sumi with Hatter. Then we had Sloth Hammer with this. These next three tunes are from a Welcome to Gaza benefit Graham and Randolph put together to help the situation. The Gore Violence Patrol Cometh from Sloth Hammer. David Delacroce with Anamon. Stephen Ray, the Pray for Rain. All one word. It really means it. Finally, Chop Suey. Got no patience. Okay. So, would you call that first gig a success?
Yeah. I broke that Epiphone my dad bought me when I was a kid on stage for that first show.
Ah, I thought you said it was acoustic gig.
No. We ended up playing electric. Yeah.
Okay.
All the 60s.
Remember, I asked you if you played that 12-string. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you end up playing electric, you end up breaking the guitar. How you break it, like Pete Townsend style?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Just like smashing it.
All the MSG specials that he ruined, and they weren't ever.
Yeah.
They weren't. You know, Ronnie had a piece. Him and David Alexander went to London from the Stooges, Ron Ashton. And he said he got a piece of one of Pete Townsend's Rickenbackers he broke at the, I think it was at, no, I can't remember the name of the fucking pad, but. Yeah, something else. How long does a drummer last?
He lasted, what, like 2 years, I guess?
Yes,
Okay.
So,
until the beginning of the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, there was a lot of things going on. Like, he definitely wasn't, like, serious enough to be, like, to take the role, like, I don't know. Like, there was mixed feelings about him as a person also. So anyways, we
parted ways.
We parted ways.
You know what? You know what? I found this. Like, if it's a music thing, you can always practice. But if it's a people thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practice ain't going to help.
Oh, hell no.
What do you call it? Some kind of chemistry. There's just something about it, man. Sometimes it don't make. So maybe everybody's happier in separate things. So how do you meet this Joe?
Well, yeah, there was another drummer in between.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Who's in the baloney seat?
He's a...
You know what I'm talking about? You got one piece of bread, another piece of bread, and then there's the baloney, right?
Yeah.
One time Scotty, Ronnie's brother, told me that their ma told him, once, Scotty, you're just a baloney, because he's the middle child. Yeah. Actually, there's a slang in the Northwest of... U.S. Northwest called Lucky Pierre, right? And he's usually the middleman on a three-way. So, anyway. So what about this this drummer guy in the middle?
Yeah, he's a friend of mine called David. He plays in another Montreal band called Thick Glasses. And he's he played drums, but he didn't play drums in his band. And since we just kicked out our previous drummer and we didn't have any plan for a replacement.
Parted ways. I like Antoine's.
Parted ways, yeah. Kick you out.
It's more airbrush, a little more civil.
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah. So we had him fill in as a drummer. We didn't know for how long, honestly. We knew it was probably...
Oh, like that first the first Clash record. There's no drummer on the cover, right? You know, that guy ended up being a chiropractor. They call him Tory Crimes. His name was Terry Chimes. I read this interview. He ended up doing chiropractic. So he's filling in. He's like a placeholder till you find somebody permanent. And is that the Joe you got now?
Yeah, that's the Joe we got now. That's
how'd you find him?
Oh, well, we there's a bar we go to. It's called Turbo House in Montreal. And we have a lot of friends in common from there. But Joe was just getting out of, like, the whole church situation and didn't really, like, know any people in the scene. So he hung out there. And we hung out there also. And by being around each other, like, he was coming to our shows. And at some point, we just ended up, like, talking more. And, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually discovered the band because I was friend with David, who played drums at the time in Chop Suey. So I was friend with David. He talked to me about this other band that I didn't know about. And I was curious to see what it was. And then a few months later... I learned that David was leaving the band. Like,
how many gigs did David do with you guys, Joe and Antoine?
Well, like 10?
Yeah, about 10.
It was in the pandemic, so yeah, he recorded with us for the first EP we put out, and then we played a couple of shows.
Let me ask, any of these songs that I played, do these have David?
Yeah, there's Follow Me Into the Sun and Bodies with David, yeah.
Okay, and the other guys are Joe. Yeah. Do you remember the first gig with Joe?
Yeah, it was in January last year.
Ah, so Joe's just been with the band a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally.
How was that first gig?
Well, for me, it was really awesome. It was my first real show after the church, and seeing all of my friends coming there to support us, and it was really a great vibe.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Because, some first gigs ain't that like that. We're at the end of the second hour, January 5, 2023. Just watch Peter, so special guest Chop Sumi. Hold tight for hour 3. January 5, 2023, third hour, the walk for Peter.
Thank you. La 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 la
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour. Chop Sumi with What Do You Want? And then Tollum, Terry Riley, Nels Klein, The Light Is Real Before. There's another one, too, I'll play next episode. Wart and Tears, he's got a brand new record. Wart and Tears, great cat, New York. I think he's living in New Jersey now, Pennsylvania, somewhere close. But his fun city is where I got to record with Bob Quine, Voidoid guitar man. Everybody said, hey, he's going to kill you, rip your head off, he's mean. And he was the nicest man in the world. So, yeah, fuck that shit. Crisis 23, Wart and Tears. And then Bullets and Balloons with Grease in the Chute. So, where did you go in the studio?
For this last record?
Yeah, with Drummer Man Joe.
Drummer Man Joe. We went, in June?
Yeah, it was
2023.
Yeah, the end of June.
Yeah.
Now, would you say... Well, it seems like the band started with Guitar Man Joe. He said he had the songs and he had a name and everything. But Antoine, you get in the band and then with that other guy. What was the process of Chop Sumi finding their own sound? Was it still Joe like being the shock caller, or did it turn into more of a collaboration?
So I'm going to explain it. But basically, Joe comes with the structure, the basics of the song. And after that, we together, like, pimp it and, like, make it more... So I do my bass line, Joe do his drumming, and we all put this together to make, like, the song that you know and you hear.
I still look over the arrangement sometimes, but, like, I come with, my song, basically.
And when you say your song, do you make, like, a demo, or do you play it for him on your guitar?
I do try to make demos if I can, but sometimes...
And on those demos, do you have drums and bass parts, or is it just you singing and playing your guitar?
It depends. Most of the time, it's really just me and my guitar. If I have ideas for drums or bass, I share them. But I try to let the guys do what they have to do until I get involved in the arrangements.
Now, does this change from when Chop Sumi first started with the other drummer?
Yeah, definitely. I was more protective of what I was doing before. And then by working with people I found I trusted with time.
Well, you've been with Antoine 5 years now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely trust him.
Yeah, I do my thing.
Well, Antoine, do you ever bring in songs? Drummer Man Joe, do you ever bring in songs?
I have songs that are in the progress right now of, like, being written. But they may be on the next album. I don't know. We will see. We
are definitely going to have something that's not just me, of course. Yeah.
And obviously the band evolves, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, tell me about this side project.
Burn
Babies, because you gave me another song. We started off the show, right, with one. And this one, Today Is Real. And it says demo. So it's like a kind of an early proj?
It's been going, like, this recording thing has been going on for, like, 2 years now. I just never had the time. So I've been recording it on, the Tascam 4-track.
And this is Joe the Guitar Man. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's you playing alone, and like sound on sound, you overdubbing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. So I played the drums, the bass, guitar, vocals, and shit, and since my Tascam really isn't in good shape, it sounds like shit, and I've been trying to make like a good mix for a long time, so I sent you the ones that sounded the best, but it's bound to come out at some point, but it's like...
Bound to come out now, because I'm going to play it.
You're not gonna be so pleased. Guess that's what we all believe. But I'm just trying to exonerate myself free. If I dream, If thy dreams shake me up and shake me down, if thy
Thank you.
Tabernacle. Well, people just said the worst cuss word you can say in Quebec.
Oh, yes.
Here we go. Of course, when I learned it, that's the first thing I said on the stage. But we started that chunk of music, last music for this edition, Burn Babies, with Today Is Real, a demo. And that's an evolving thing, too, but this is Joel Lowe. You know, sometimes it's good, people, to have your own things, because then you can commit totally to the collab thing with the band, because you've got an outlet with Man Alone. Makes sense. Yeah. 100 Flowers after that. I'm going to play with Urinals, which, you know, get this, you know about this, right? Urinals changed their name to 100 Flowers to get more gigs. Oh, they got less. So they changed their name back to Urinals.
Oh, God.
Yeah, watch out. Careful what you wish for. Yeah, Urinals had huge effect on Minutemen. They had a song called Ack, 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 we used to cover. But we only set three acts because we cut one of the verses up. It was so econo. It was all one chord. And then the big move comes. It just changes half step. I dug that. Then EFL Collective with Dyspnea. FOD with Sick Animal. And finally, Chop Sumi. And I've played this before because I love it. Piss Stained Hands. So you get twice, but it's worth the replay, people. It's a great song. And so what's next now for Chop Sumi?
So what's next? Well, we're going to record an album eventually. We're planning this year about an 8-9 song album.
Yeah, maybe go up to 10 or something.
Maybe. We'll see how we feel.
Well, what about time? You know, you don't, especially everybody's making vinyl, so you don't want to go more than 20 minutes a side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we have, like, longer songs than, like, most whatever. Like, we're a punk/post-whatever band, so we have, like, 5-minute songs regularly, so if we fit in, like, a couple, 2 minutes.
I'll tell you, the second Wipers album was called Youth of America.
Yes.
One side was one song.
Yeah.
And for those days, you know, of course, we know about Pink Flag and Wire and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, man, it was a whole side. And for those days, it was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Just a song.
But that's okay, man. The movement was about letting the freak flag fly. It wasn't about going any kind of mandatory thing for everybody. So if you guys got longer or shorter songs, it's very, very okay. So what about playing on tour?
We're currently booking a tour of Ontario, but because we've
no, because I'm a, I'm asking you about the U.S. because I would love for U.S. people to see you.
I mean, we love that shit. It's we're currently like booking DIY for now. We're with a label, but it's not the best relationship we could hope for. So we're like sort of thinking about, like, either we go full DIY or we stay with them and whatever. But for us, like, the U.S. side of things is maybe not for now, but we're definitely down. And, like, seeing, like, you with MSSV touring, like, all that much definitely made us want to go on tour and, like, play and get good and, like, meet people, meet bands. And so, yeah, we definitely really want to focus on touring. But, like,
you know, that's an old tradition. Tour. That goes back to vaudeville and stuff. The idea of working towns. It's a trip. Hmm. If you call a tour more than a month, that tour that we shared the stage with, MSSV, Sky Turns Black?
Blue Skies Turn Black, yeah.
That's right. And that, if you call a tour more than a month, that was my 68th tour.
Yeah.
So I only got 68 more to do. No, it's quite an adventure. And you might dig it. It ain't for everybody. But at least try it out, you know. First, you're going to do an Ontario tour. That's pretty good. There's a lot of towns, a lot of things.
Yeah.
But no, Quebec?
Oh, we're definitely going to play Quebec. Okay, but it's a tougher population.
yeah. But I'll tell you, tougher, maybe Maritime, maybe all the way to Vancouver. I mean, Canada is huge.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's huge. There's so few cities for that much land. But yeah, sure.
Well, you know, I want to put out the invite right now because for sure you're going to make this record, right? So when this record gets done, will you come back on the show and we can play, talk about it?
Absolutely.
Great. Where are you going to record it? There in Montreal?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple places, but we're trying to narrow it down to the best option for us.
Sure.
Montreal.
Okay. So That's my invite to you. When it gets done, play it out, and then come on the show. We'll play it. We'll talk about all the tunes and how you made it and stuff. I'm really interested in you guys' voyage through music.
Awesome. We're definitely trying to make it to L.A. as well.
Whoa! That would be real bitches.
I mean, we definitely would like.
In fact, Pedro, you play the harbor, and I'll share the state. We got a club here in Pedro called the Sardine. We'll share the state.
Fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Joe, Antoine, Joe, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks
so much.
Thank
Can't
you
wait
a
to
lot.
Have you back. People,
absolutely.
January 5th, 2024, keep your powder dry.